All right, number two goes to you, Russ. A lot calmer topic, I think. Best closing hole in the PGA Tour. Now, we're talking about Doral because, you know, this has been statistically number 18 has been the hardest hole on tour, not in any hole, for the last year and maybe even before that. I know 18's just been a bear for these guys. So is it 18 at Doral? Is it 18 at TPC Sawgrass? You can throw in Oakmont because it was on the tour last year, but that's a one-time sort of deal.
Right.
Is it 18 at Honda at PGA? I think that's even at a par five. If the wind's blowing a certain direction, that can be a bear. Pebble Beach 18, Riviera 18, Bay Hill 18.
All right, I'm going to give you a two-part. You like to ask two-part questions. I'm going
to
give you
only to Rick Hara, though.
I'm gonna give you a two-part answer. I'm going to give you the, you know, tried and true year in, year out best hole. And then I'm going to give you the best hole for a major, which we only see every 5 or 6 years. First of all, for the best hole for a major, because, you know, I'll start there, and then I'll come to the holes we see every time, each year. I think Carnoustie. I think the 18th hole at Carnoustie is the best finishing hole when we see it in a major. I mean, we saw John Vandeveld totally self-destruct there in 1999. We saw Patty Harrington last year in the 07 British Open make double bogey there, and then Sergio couldn't make par, so they go to a playoff, and then that's exactly where Patty won it. I just think the 18th, and there's two burns there. The burn's in play on the right on the tee shot, and then the burn that crosses in front of the green is in play on your approach shot. So there's two chances to put your ball in the water. You know, they said it last year when Patty made a double. The commentator said during the broadcast, that's the best double bogey you will ever see. And it was, because he put his third shot in the burn. So he drops and he, you know, out in four, dropping five. And then he gets up and down from pitching from about 80 yards on the other side of the burn, gets up and down for a double. And that was a fabulous up and down. And he made double, but yet it was enough to get to the playoff and then ultimately win, beating Sergio. So I think Carnoustie's 18th hole, the par four, is the best finishing hole for a major. I think Oakmont's pretty close. The U.S. Open, we saw Angel Cabrera rip that drive last year, and then, you know, Tiger wasn't able to make that snaking 20-footer down the hill for birdie to tie him to go to a playoff, to push to a playoff. But I think Carnoustie's won. Oakmont's a close second. Then, now the other part of the answer, the best finishing hole year in, year out on the PGA Tour, I think it's Sawgrass. And I said a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the best three-hole stretch on the PGA Tour, and I thought the Bear Trap 15, 16, and 17 at PGA National was a close second to TPC Sawgrass, 16, 17, and 18. The only reason I gave the edge to Sawgrass was because it was the last three holes. You know, the best three holes, the toughest three holes, and for them to be your last three holes, I think that that's an edge up on the Bear Trap, which is another great stretch of three holes, but it's 15, 16, and 17. Perhaps if they included the 18th, that's probably the best four-hole stretch on the PGA Tour. And the 18th at PGA National, the par 5, it's a good finishing hole as well. But I think TPC Sawgrass 18 is the best finishing hole on the PGA Tour. The tee shot is incredibly tough. There's no bailout because you can go right and keep it out of the water, but then you're in the woods. At least at Doral, if you go right, you're in the fairway on the adjoining hole to the right. So you can still pitch it out and then try to get up and down for par. If you go right at Sawgrass, you're in the woods. You're likely going to have to take an unplayable lie or something. So I say Sawgrass is the best week in, the week out on the PGA Tour. Carnoustie is the best for majors.
Well, I'm going to have to think on the majors. Obviously, I played Oakmont. I know how difficult that 18th hole is, and under pressure, I can't imagine trying to hit a drive there. The fairway slopes left to right. There's traps left, a ditch left. There's traps and out of bounds on the right. It just is, and it narrows the further out you go. So Cabrera on that hole, that drive that he hit there was the shot of the tournament, really. But that
longest drive of the week at 18, it was like 360 yards.
Just spectacular. And then the green is like a three-tiered green with all kinds of undulations in it, and it's usually super fast. So that hole, just because I played it, I know how difficult it is, and I can't imagine what it would be like under U.S. Open pressure to try to have to par that or birdie it like Tiger did. So that would probably be my toughest. Carnoustie on TV, you're right. It looks like it's just a landmine got a bunch of
accident
waiting to happen. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you're old school, you might not like that because again, luck might, you know, play a large role. If you just hit it far enough, it goes into one of those burns and those types of things. But, you know, that's part of the golf
capricious
course.
Bounce we always hear about it with
right.
the British Open.
So I'm not going to disagree with the error. I'd have to, you know, go back in the mental files to think about St. Andrews 18.
It's boring, though. I don't like St. Andrews.
No,
so
and I'm
boring.
Not even saying it's a good hole. I'm just trying to think what on the Rota you know, you get to Augusta 18, that's not a super difficult hole,
yeah,
really.
I think you make a good point, Pat. Unfortunately, at Augusta, I think 17 and 18 are kind of afterthoughts. I think 16 is really the last great hole at Augusta, the par 3.
I agree with you.
And Amen Corner is really where it's at. And then, extend that Amen Corner out to also include 14, 15, and 16.
Right. I agree with you. And then you go through the annals of U.S. Open courses that have hosted Oakland Hills and Oakmont and Oak Hill and Congressional and all those courses.
Pinehurst,
you'd have to.
Wingfoot. Wingfoot's a good 18.
Wingfoot's a tough 18.
We saw Phil Mickelson, vomit all over himself there
that
a couple
is
of years ago.
I still think Oakmont's tougher than that, but that's right up there. So I'd have to think about on the major thing. But on the PGA regular tour, I hate to agree with you, Russ, but I think TPC 18 is sneaky tough. You do not see it on TV. All you see is the water left. But what happens if you hit the ball right? There's a hill there. There's like a mound. And if you hit it in that grass, you're dead. It's that real thick St. Augustine stuff, and you can't get your ball out of it. If you hit it far enough down the right, you run into trees. There's a cart path there. You really have no hope except just basically to hit it out.
Right.
And that fairway narrows, again, the further down you get. So if you want to lay it back, and risk hitting, you have to hit a 5-iron or a Hal Sutton 6-iron in there. Then
the right club today.
That is right, Russ. You can do that. But then you're talking about hitting a 5-iron into your final hole of the semi-major championship, again, to a 2- or 3-tiered green. I'm going to agree with you on that. I think Sawgrass, Honda, PGA, the champ, that for a par 5, that's one of the hardest par 5s you're going to find.
Definitely.
Pebble is the most scenic, without a doubt. It's absolutely gorgeous, and you can run into trouble there.
I think Pebble is the best finishing par 5 on the PGA Tour, with Honda, with PGA National, a very close second.
Right. I agree with you on that, but I think toughest in terms of finishing, getting home, especially your nerves are racked after 17. You come to 18 thinking you're going to get somewhat of a breather. It ain't a breather. That's a very difficult hole. I think that's probably the best finishing hole on the PGA Tour.
All right. Nicely done, Pat. I'll just give you my top five. Sawgrass 1, Doral Blue Monster 2. Let's not forget, last year, Tiger laid up. He played it as a par 5. He had the 2-shot lead against Brett Wederich. Ends up hitting a 3-iron off the tee. Hits a 5-iron to 100 yards. Then tries to get up and down for par, but he puts the ball way in the back left of the green, so he had to hit that little downhiller and lagged it to a foot. Remember, Mark Calcavecchia had that same putt and put it all the way in the water last year at Doral. So Tiger, when Tiger's playing the hole as a par 5, you know it's a tough hole. I like Riviera 3rd, and then I got Pebbles par 5 as my 4th, and then how about Muirfield? Jack Nicklaus is 18 up in Dublin. I'll put that as my 5th.
That's a nice hole, too. The only drawback with that is a lot of guys will hit a 3-wood off that tee because they don't want to hit into the water. If you hit a driver, you can hit into the water. There's a little creek that goes up the left side of that hole. And then that another double-tiered, triple-tiered green on 18 there at Muirfield. Very difficult if you hit it above the hole there.
One more that I think we forgot about, another Jack Nicklaus design, along with Pete Dye. Pete Dye, of course, designed TPC Sawgrass, and that's at Harbortown, the golf links in Harbortown. 18 there is a good finishing hole as well.
Finishing hole.
Boo Weekly chipped in for birdie there last year to beat Ernie Els. All right, last one for you, Pat. And the question is, kind of on the heels of Tiger Woods setting all these world records and becoming the greatest golfer of all time right before our eyes, and with golf at such a popular heightened level, why do rounds across the country continue to decline? There was an great article in the Sun Sentinel earlier this week about the game on the downswing. Municipal courses in Palm Beach County are drawing fewer golfers compared to 10 years ago. Boynton Beach's municipal golf course drew 318 golfers during their heaviest day last week. Back in 2002, they said it wasn't, so just 6 years ago, they said it wasn't rare for them to draw 500 people in a day. So nationwide, the numbers of golf rounds played has remained flat since the turn of the century. So since 2000, number of golf rounds played has remained flat. Number of golfers has declined. So it's a weird stat here. Now we're getting fewer golfers. The golfers are playing more rounds, so the number is remaining flat. 115 golf facilities in Palm Beach County. So Palm Beach County has the third most golf facilities in the country at 115. They've got 2,709 holes in Palm Beach County. That's only third behind Maricopa, Arizona, the Phoenix area, and Riverside, California, the Palm Springs area. And we're seeing golf courses closing left and right, Pat, over the last 3, 4, 5 years here in South Florida. Why do you think that there's this weird phenomenon that golf rounds are declining even though golf is so popular?
Well, the article states it very succinctly, and I completely agree with it. It's three factors. It's too costly, it's too time-consuming, and it's too frustrating to play the game. And I agree with all those. If you want to go get a driver, Russ, one of the top-shelf drivers, it's like $500. That's a lot of money for one club. If you're going to get the whole set of ping, you know, that we have, the i5s or i10s or whatever, yeah, you're talking $2,000 for that. You get a putter that's couple hundred bucks, you're buying Titleist Pro V whatever balls, they're, you know, $75 a dozen now, which is, you know, unfathomable, paying over $5 per ball. You know, it's an expensive sport. It is time consuming. If you're going to go out to play golf, you're going to hit balls beforehand, maybe you're going to have lunch before or after, it's 6 hours you're devoting pretty much half of a day to go play a round of golf, if you're going to do, you know, the whole thing. And then the frustration factor, a lot of people will take up the game. It's easy in a way to hit some, you know, to go from, say, shooting 120 to 100. If you play enough, you know, you get a certain feel for hitting the ball. But those touch shots take forever. It takes you years of practice and play to be able to chip and putt pretty well to be able to start scoring. So all those factors involved, I would say, have probably led to the decline in playing.
Right.
In our instant gratification society. If I can't break 75 today, I don't want to do it.
Well, coupled with that instant gratification society is the younger kids. I would say a fourth reason is the younger kids are more into video games and television than golf.
You are exactly right, Russ. When I was a kid, I'm not trying to say I was like one of these kids that, you know, like Dennis Watson's son, like, I want to go hit balls before I go to the toy store.
Yeah.
No, I would have gone to the toy store first. But I'll tell you, a close second, to be outside with my old man playing golf, I mean, he'd take me, I told him, Dad, I'll just wash balls if you want me to. Just let me ride in the cart with you and pretend to steer. Just to be out there with your dad or to be outside, able to hit some balls like in April up in Philadelphia when the weather was terrible and all, you're just like, man, this is great. And I don't get the same. Now my kids go and hit balls with me, and we'll go occasionally and play out of Palm Beach Gardens Municipal for nine holes. But I don't get the same sense of, you know, sheer joy to just be out there and be able to play a sport, because they'd rather be in there playing their Madden 2K, whatever it is. You know, saying, Dad, I scored 69 points. I'm like,
Grand Theft Auto. And some of those games are violent.
Oh,
I mean,
my
they're
God,
like
they're really
carjackings
violent.
And yeah,
war
guns.
Games and stuff like that. But but you're exactly right, Russ. I think the problem is, for the older generation, it's too time-consuming and too costly and too frustrating. And for the younger generation, they just have other outlets that they're like, you know what? It is fun to hit a golf ball, you know, 250 yards or whatever. But I'd still rather go play video games. And that's a shame, because as you and I both know, it's a great game. It's something I want to impart upon my children. It's a great bonding experience
and
all that.
Three of your four kids are big-time golf fans.
Do I foresee them playing golf lifetime? You know, to be honest with you, Russ, except for my one son, I don't know if my daughter and my other son, I think they might play it. But if I wasn't there pushing them, like, let's go hit balls, I don't think they'd play.
And maybe, you know, you kind of got to let them, you know, because I...
You do. I'm not going to push
them.
Right,
exactly. I don't want to become a parent that pushes their kids to do what I want them to do. I'm hoping that what they want to do is play golf. Because unfortunately for me, I didn't start playing golf until I was in college. I was a golf fan when I was younger, but for some reason, I liked to watch golf on TV when I was little, but I didn't like to play it for some reason. My dad tried to bring me to the golf course and putt. You know, he had a little shortened putter for me to putt on the greens when he would bring me to the golf course, but I never really got into it. I was more into basketball and baseball. And unfortunately for me, I don't play basketball anymore.
You get over 30 years old, Russ, you can't do anything.
I could still go out to the park and probably make 75% of my free throws. But who cares? Like, really, who cares? And I wish I had been swinging a golf club all those years instead of shooting free throws, because that's really what I want to be doing now at the age of 31. So unfortunately for me, I didn't start playing until I was in college. But once I did, I've been playing for a decade now, I was hooked. And I got the bug, and I think one of the problems down here, we mentioned it, 115 golf courses, 2,709 holes of golf. I think it's a little too much.
It could be.
I think
saturation.
And we still see golf courses opening. I mean, you know, there's private clubs all around this county that are losing money and are hurting because, I hate to say it, it's a morbid thought, but a lot of their members are dying. And the younger members aren't coming in. So I think that there might be a little oversaturation, specifically in our region. I don't know that that's a national problem, but I think specifically here in South Florida. Whoa.
Lightning bolt.
Was that thunder?
Yes.
Holy
jeez. Early in the morning.
My chair was like shaking. Definitely no golf going on right now. Looking across the street at Bear Lakes, the Lynx course.
Out there? No. Dana Quigley out there?
There's no. I don't think Dana's out there. It's like the priest from Caddyshack out there is round of his life as he gets struck by lightning. All right, that's another edition of the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, as we do each and every week, taking a look at a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. Man, so quite a session this week, Pat. I'm exhausted.
I'm fired up, man. Let's go for another hour.
I got
through
the
NCAA tournament.
Got to get the energy back up to talk with Jim McLean up next. But right now, I want to let you know about PGA National Resort and Spa. Have you ever watched a golf tournament on TV and wondered how you would do on the course the pros play? It can happen at PGA National Resort and Spa in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. You can play the PGA Tour's third toughest course. A wonderfully fiendish layout designed by Jack Nicklaus that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now the Honda Classic. The Arnold Palmer-designed course and the three other courses are just as devilish, making PGA National Florida's premier golf resort destination. PGA National has just been renovated, too. Everything from the entry to the pool area to the lobby with its new restaurant and the I-Bar, which is the coolest place you'll ever want to hang out in. It's time to experience the legend of PGA National in person, not just on TV. For a customized tune-up and tee-off golf package that includes lessons and golf on the course with your instructor, which is very cool, go to pgaresort.com or call 877-742-6285. Coming up next, world-class golf instructor Jim McLean. He is ranked number 3 by Golf Digest, top 50 American.